With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now, here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 70, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the podcast. I'm your host, Rob Parker, with a February edition of Inside the Parker. Yes, pitchers and catchers will be reporting to spring training in a few weeks. What a show we have for you today. We're going to talk with former Major League outfielder Jock Jones. We'll talk about some things going on in Major League Baseball this past offseason. Also, we're going to go in-depth with Ned Colletti, the former Los Angeles Dodger GM. Listen up.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
Now let's welcome into the podcast former Major League outfielder Jock Jones, of course, who played for a number of Major League teams, broke in with the Minnesota Twins in 1999, also played for the Cubs, the Tigers, and the Florida Marlins. Welcome into the podcast, my man, Jock. How are you?
Rob, I'm doing fantastic, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And I got a chance to chop it up with you in 2008 in Detroit when you came through town, and I was working in the Motor City back then, no doubt.
You did. I just told Dusty about that yesterday when I was talking to him.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep. That was good times. All right, let's talk here. Jock, first, you're getting into the media landscape. You have a new podcast.
Yeah.
Former pitcher LaTroy Hawkins, who I know real well as well.
Yeah.
Tell me about the podcast and what you guys are doing, because I know you talk about everything. It's not just a baseball podcast, right?
So I pitched it to LaTroy right around the time that Darwin Hamlin was going through his, you know, the cardiac arrest and all that.
Right.
And I kind of was intrigued by his story, mainly because one, because I was pulling for him to get through that. And two, I saw that he had a foundation that was going on. And he had probably a couple $1,000s in it at the time, and he had it going for a couple years. He gets hurt. The world stops. Literally, the world stopped for him, right? Everyone's pulling for him, praying for him. And then all of a sudden, the funds in his foundation shot up to $10 million, right?
Wow.
Which is great. It's all great. Not complaining. People do what they want with their money. But my point to LaTroy was, LaTroy, we as athletes get bad raps as, you know, if something happens to us, it's world news, especially a lot of negative things, right? And not enough things get pushed about what guys like to do or what where guys' hearts are or who guys are as people. We're fixated on them running, throwing, hitting, catching, doing things like that. And so I said, hey, man, I want to bring a podcast to the world to let people know who guys are outside of being athletic. So that's where our podcast came to fruition. It was born and you know, Thick Skin with Jock and Hawk. We've been having a great time with it.
And where can people get it and sign up? Is it everywhere you could get podcasts?
Yeah, people can subscribe to it. We're on a Spotify and Apple or wherever you can get your podcasts.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, and you're right. There's a lot of different things that happen in the media and what's covered. And I say this, and you know this.
Yeah.
I've been a reporter for almost 40 years. And, yeah. And the hard thing that what people don't understand is news is usually something that's unusual, different, right? That people flock to.
Right.
Like, Jock, you've never read a story that said every plane landed safely at LAX yesterday. Do you right. know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Because that's the expected.
Exactly.
So when there's a plane crash, it's a story.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
I once had this conversation with Rob Dibble when I covered the Cincinnati Reds, and he was the closer for the Reds.
Okay.
And he said, you know, you guys only come over to my locker when I blow a game. And I said, Dibs, you're so good. Right? I know it's not fair.
Yeah.
But you know where I'm going.
I do.
You're so good.
Yes.
That we expect you to close the game. That when
Absolutely.
You don't close it, it is news to us what happened, because the last 20 games you closed and you blow this one. What happened today? Why didn't you get it done?
For sure.
It comes off as negative. You know what I mean? Like,
Oh,
these guys only come over here when I fail. But that's the reason why you're so good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a situation that's tough for people to always accept, and I get it, and it's
right.
a part of the business. But a couple things I want to ask you about in baseball. Let's go around the diamond.
Yeah.
Juan Soto was traded from the Padres.
Yep.
Your hometown, San Diego, right?
Yep.
From the Padres.
Yep.
He got traded there by the Nationals. He was okay. I don't think he was the same player he was in Washington.
Yeah.
And Juan Soto turned down $440 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
Now here he comes. He's going to be in the Bronx and the Yankees. Not really a home run hitter, even though the short porch and right field. He should have a good year. But did he blow his opportunity of making a half a billion dollars, or is that still in play for him?
I don't know if half a billion dollars is still in play, especially with maybe with Shohei Ohtani setting the market too.
When you saw that $700 million, just be honest, as a baseball, you play in the big leagues, you're like seven, like even football players, basketball players, they just like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's going to keep going up, man. It's going to keep going.
Well, they told me baseball was dead.
No, it's not. It's alive and kicking, man. And I don't think the owners want to stop. I don't think the players want to stop because it's going so good. There'll be some tweaks here and there like they've been doing, and we'll touch on that here in a little bit. But, I think it's still in play, especially when he had the bounce-back year he had last year. He had over 30 homers. He had over 100 runs driven.
Made the All-Star team, right?
Made the All-Star team. He was back up to around 280. He walks a lot. He gets on base. He's a machine. His defense might have slipped a little bit, but you know, I mean, they're going to pay him for his offense and people that he can put in the seats.
No doubt about it. It's going to be interesting to see in the Bronx how that plays out.
Yep.
The Texas Rangers. I picked them before the season to win the division.
Okay.
And then they had the most unbelievable playoff run. They didn't lose a road game. I mean, you don't see that, Jock, right?
That was crazy. The home teams didn't lose on the road, which was crazy.
That just doesn't happen in baseball.
It's usually the opposite, man. And it was almost like textbook down the line. That's how it played out. It was crazy.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The last American League to repeat as champs were the 99-2000 Yankees, okay? Yep. So that's almost 25 years ago.
Yep.
And the last National League team, do you know the last National League team to repeat?
I do not.
The 75-76 Cincinnati Reds.
The big red machine.
Can you believe that no National League team has repeated since the 70s?
I can believe it, man. And we people talk about parity, right? And that's never going to be parity with the Yankees and the Braves and the Dodgers and the teams like that that have all kinds of money, man. But I tell people all the time when they ask me, hey, if like Apple or IBM, right, they hire the best people around the world to help their company run. And if the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Braves and the Red Sox and, hey, man, you make money, you're putting it back into your team, God bless you. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win, but you're trying to put the best product out on the field to make the fans happy and to make the players happy.
No doubt. Our guest is Jock Jones, former Major League outfielder, joining us here on Inside the Parker. The Mets, let's go there.
Yeah.
Looks like they've thrown the towel in. I mean, they got one of the richest owners, Steve Cohen, who threw a gazillion dollars at it. You know, got Verlander, Scherzer, older pitchers, right?
Yep.
They had won 101 games the year before. You figure you add Verlander, who was the American League Cy Young Award winner and American League Comeback Player of the Year. So you figure add a star pitcher, add some water, stir, and they're going to the World Series.
Right.
It all blew up in their face. Now it looks like they've pulled back. And like I've heard from Met fans saying, this is the least anticipated season. Like they got a no-name manager. They got they just didn't do anything.
Hey, man, sometimes, Rob, it has a weird way of unfolding, right? With so much expectation, like you said, with Scherzer and
Verlander
and them losing DeGrom, which I think was big for them. But I think it started with when Diaz went down in the World Baseball Classic, man. They just never really
in the celebration.
They never really recovered from that because that put their bullpen, they were putting people in positions that they weren't supposed to be in from spring training. And it just snowballed from there.
No doubt. Okay, so the Dodgers spent like $1.1 billion. We talked about it. Shohei, Yamamoto, Glasnow. I mean, like the Dodgers are the evil empire, I'm calling them now, because they've spent all this money.
Oh, yeah.
But are they still the best team for sure? I mean, we got Yamamoto's got to make a an adjustment coming to the United States.
Absolutely.
We already know that Shohei's not pitching this year.
Absolutely.
What will he be when he comes back from his, full recovery?
Yep.
Last now used to pitch in Tampa where nobody was paying attention. Now you're in L.A. I know he's an L.A. guy, but are they the best team in the National League or is it still the Braves?
Hey, on paper, they're the best team, right? But they don't play the game on paper. To me, the Dodgers to me are the Cowboys of Major League Baseball.
Wow.
They win a million games during the regular season. They beat up on their teams in the West. They get to the playoffs and it just doesn't happen, right? And I'm a Padres fan and I love seeing it, right? Because
I think that's a fair assessment. When you think of the last 2 years where they won over 100 games, they got beat by the Padres 2 years ago. Last year against Arizona, they didn't even lead for one inning in the entire series.
I laughed with my friends, and I already told them, right? And I make little posts on Facebook and stuff like that. I say, here's the Dodgers season. So they're going to go 1,000,062, and they're going to lose in October. It's just the way it is.
It is pretty amazing. We'll see how it all unfolds. Last thing, I was against some of baseball's rule changes. I thought that they were trying to make the game for people who don't like baseball. When I go to a game, Jock, I expect it to go for 3 hours.
Right.
If the game runs long, I get up, I leave, I listen to the rest on the radio on my way home. And that was it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to rush through the game because people want to go home in 2 hours. But they made changes last year. The pitch clock, I thought, would be intrusive. It wound up not being. Yep. And the game's cut off 30 minutes, like a real 30 minutes off the game.
Yep.
The bigger bases, guys are sliding in the pizza boxes, but it gave you more action on the base paths.
Yep.
And I did love, the only one I did really love was the shift, to stop the shift, because that was taking away a lot of hits. Guys would hit the balls on the screws in between the first and second base hole, and there was a third baseman standing there. Like, that's not baseball.
Yeah.
Which rules do you like? And did you like this brand of baseball last year because attendance was way up and TV ratings were way up?
Yeah. So I was like you. I was on the fence with the pitch clock, right? Because I thought it was just going to mess up the game. And I think they will revisit it in the playoffs at some point in time because it will become a factor in the playoffs at some point, right? But it worked out. And as always, the players complain, but then they adjust. Okay, so the pitch clock worked out. I love the bases being bigger, so less injury, less contact between the players. The shift, I was on the fence because I feel like this. Hit the ball where they're not.
No, I get it. I mean, that's what people would say.
Right.
But here's my only issue, and I'm going to push back on you.
Okay.
I don't want my 35 home run hitter.
Yeah.
Going the other way to get a weak single through the third base, you know, like that. As a fan, that's not what I want to go to. Okay, you're right. He could get three hits that way.
Okay,
but that's not what I don't want. Three singles through the left side of the infield. I want this guy to hit the ball out the park.
But I'm gonna push back on you with this. My 35 home run guy, I want my 35 home run guy to go out of the ballpark pole to pole. So it's not just forcing it over there. I'm not saying just force it over there. I'm saying smoke it over there. Hit it hard. Complete hitters, right? That's what I want. And that's what plays in the postseason. Complete hitters play in the postseason.
Yeah, no, it's hard to argue with that. But you do need that long ball every so often.
Oh, yeah. But Rob, you can go – correct me if I'm wrong – a home run counts over the left field fence just as much as it counts over the right field fence.
Yeah, that's true. it's going to be interesting to see, but I went to a game last year. I was in Milwaukee. It was the Astros and the Brewers.
Yep.
Okay. Jock, it started at, it was a Wednesday afternoon special, 12:10.
Yeah.
The game was over in 2 hours and 3 minutes.
And you
my buddy and I, we looked at each other and were like, we felt like we got cheated. Now, it was like the score was like 5-2. It wasn't like it was 1-0.
Yeah.
2 hours and 3 minutes. And you know what? I enjoyed it. It moved along. There was not a lot of dead time like it used to be.
Yes.
You know, you play when guys are rearranging themselves, wristbands, and all this stuff, stepping out on every pitch.
Yeah, and then you go relief pitcher for one hitter, relief pitcher for two, and
it was ridiculous.
I love it, dude.
No doubt. And also, I want to announce that Jock Jones will be joining MLBBro.com this coming season.
Yeah, man. I'm going to be,
offering his analysis. And so I can't wait. I mean, thank you, Jock. That's going to be great.
Thank you, man. Thank you for the invite. I appreciate it.
No doubt. All right, Jock Jones, join us here on Inside the Parker, man. We appreciate you. And we'll be in touch and talking to you as the baseball season. Spring training is about 23 days away.
Yeah, the games are, but report day is less than that.
Yeah, coming up pretty soon. All right, my man. Appreciate you.
Rob, thank you, man.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome into the podcast Ned Colletti. Man, this guy's got 40 years in Major League Baseball, but he does a lot. Of course, the former Dodger general manager. Currently, he also works for the San Jose Sharks. He used to be an NHL scout, now with the Sharks. And works over at Pepperdine as well. Ned, welcome to the podcast. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Rob. Good to see you. Good to hear your voice.
No doubt. Man, we got stuff to talk about. Do the Dodgers have any more money is what I want to know, because they spent money like it was going out of style, Ned. When you were GM, there was no $1.1 billion to spend. What do you make of that when you see Yamamoto was the last one they signed, obviously, $325 million. They also signed Glasnow to a contract, but the $700 million to Shohei, just the dynamics of seeing that unfold.
Well, it was, I can't tell you I was surprised. I worked for Mark Walter for a long time, both as a GM for 3 years and then with the organization doing television. So I know how he thinks. And I know that, and I know how he thinks to a certain extent, I should say, that he, you know, that they lost to AZ, didn't lead for an inning, I think, three straight, and then got swept by San Diego the year before. I just had a feeling that they were going to go all in on everybody they thought that they could use. And obviously the Shohei deal, I think, is genius on everybody's part. And then you sign Yamamoto after that. You know, you're starting to really build your pitching staff. You trade for Glasnow and then sign him. So I think it's been a offseason of historic magnitude, both in money spent and talent acquired. You're talking about three high-end performers. So, hey, maybe the greatest player of all time. Still a lot of time left to kind of figure that out, but certainly in the conversation. So I'm not surprised. That's how they think. They have a huge appetite for winning, despise losing. And I think that I told a few writers, in fact, as we started to talk during the beginning of the offseason, don't be surprised. I don't know about the Glasnow part, but don't be surprised if both of Shohei and Yamamoto end up in the Dodgers and they'll go for more starting pitching as well, and that's what they've done.
Now, give me a scouting report on Yamamoto. Obviously, you know, you never know. You've heard other Japanese pitchers and pitchers have come from other places. And, you know, I could go back to when I covered Deki Arabu's first start with the Yankees. Yes. You know what I mean? And that didn't work out long term. He was okay. But Yamamoto, just tell me what's great about this guy.
Well, obviously, he's been very, very successful. And he's really a young pitcher when you think about it. I think he's 25 years old. So you've got youth on your side. You don't have a lot of wear and tear. You've got some, but certainly not as much as you would if he was 30, 35 years old. Also, I think that he is a very precision-driven performer. I think you're going to see a great feel for pitching. I think you're going to see him use a lot of different pitches, maybe a little bit different deliveries from time to time, release points. I think he's, even at this age, I think he's almost got a PhD in the craft of pitching. So I expect him to be one of the best. There's also an adjustment period. There's no doubt. And pitchers from Japan typically pitch once a week, once every 6 days. So there'll be a little bit of an adjustment there unless they end up with a 6-man rotation, which you never know. You know, their thought process is usually way ahead of everybody else's. But I think that will be the one adjustment. Length of season will also be a little bit of an adjustment. But I think that they've got themselves really an ace. You know, they do their homework. You know, they're due diligent in everything they do. So to spend what they've spent and to do what they've done, it's obviously they've been paying attention to him for quite a while. And they know who he is and they know how he approaches the sport.
Now, with the Shohei deal, Ned, obviously they did everything that's legal. They didn't do anything illegal by, you know, pushing the money down the road and, you know, and just an unheard of contract. Like, players just don't say, yeah, well, I'll take the money 20 years from now or whatever it is. But will baseball, do you think, make an adjustment? Because that is it's a unfair advantage if you're able to spread out the money over a long period of time and yet sign four or five guys. Will there maybe be some sort of cap as to how much money you can defer going forward or no?
There may be, but it's going to have to be negotiated with the union too. And from everything you read, this was as much his idea as anybody's idea. Maybe it was his idea. So anything of that magnitude in any sport, any professional sport in this country is going to have to be collectively bargained, I believe. So I think that it may happen like that. But again, it's so far out of the box. And I think it showed a lot of people, a lot about Shohei too, that his appetite for victory was so much that he was willing to defer that amount of money to years 11 through 20. I mean, that's a while from now. And again, the Dodgers are very, very bright. They know what they're doing. And I think when you think about what they'll do with the $68 million, you know, they'll more than make that up in how they manage it. So I think it's a genius deal on all points. I think it allows the Dodgers to add Yamamoto for one and maybe some others along the way. But I just thought it was a genius deal, very unique And back in the day, it would be tough to get an agent to go for that and a player, let alone perhaps suggest it. But I think it tells you what his appetite is for winning and how he doesn't want to stand in the way of this organization because of what his salary is going to be from being as good as they can be and adding players that are at the highest level. So, congrats to him because that was a great, great decision on his part.
We did hear a baseball analyst say it was the greatest signing by the Dodgers in the Dodgers' history, and people stopped and said, as great as it wasn't Jackie Robinson. They've had two great, right? I mean, like, it was a great signing, but Jackie Robinson signing by the Dodgers is the all-time greatest.
I think that's one of the greatest signings in the history of the world, let alone baseball. I guess if you wanted to separate Brooklyn and Los Angeles, maybe that's a way to get that one in there. But Jackie Robinson signing was historic in so many ways. I don't
change the country, right?
Oh yeah, change the world. You know, I was dear friends with the great Don Newcomb. I love Don Newcomb, and I spent many years talking to him pregame, a little bit postgame, and we would talk for an hour at a time, sometimes longer depending on schedules. And we talked baseball. Don't get me wrong, but we also talked Jackie Robinson. We talked Roy Campanella. We talked Dr. King because they all knew each other and they all worked for the good of unity and to give everybody an opportunity. So many of my conversations with Nuke were wrapped around Jackie Robinson, what he went through and also what he stood for and also Dr. King and Campy. So there'll be no signing ever as big or as life-changing, world-changing as signing Jackie Robinson.
No doubt. Our guest is Ned Colletti, former Dodgers GM, of course, works with the San Jose Sharks now, Pepperdine University, but 40 years in baseball and did Spectrum Sports, Spectrum TV, LA for a long time. Just stopped doing that as an analyst. I just watch you all the time after the games or whatever. But now the Dodgers got all these great players. The last 2 years have been disasters. Over 100 wins where they ran through the regular season and ran into a buzzsaw. You said it earlier. The Arizona series was probably bad enough to lose to the Padres 2 years ago, get swept, lose that series, I should say. But the Arizona where they didn't even lead, like they were annihilated. How much pressure is now on Dave Roberts? I don't think there's any excuses if you don't win and you've just spent over $1 billion and you have pitching and you have a unbelievable lineup. It's almost like you can't lose.
Well, you can always lose. You're going to have to win playoff games.
I mean, you can't lose and keep your job is probably what I meant.
Well, I really hope that doesn't happen because I have so much respect for him and love my conversations with him as well. You can't predict the sport. That's why people go to games. And you don't know what's going to happen between now and October. People will get hurt. People make other deals. We don't know necessarily. Is there going to be added pressure? Yeah, I think so. But this isn't a team that has like come out of nowhere. And so now they're going to be in an environment that is new to them. They've been this way since going back to my time there. So this is who the Dodgers are. They expect, their expectations are always at this level. And Arizona, down for a while, came back. Expectations, different. San Diego, different. But the Dodgers and their players and their staff, they've lived with this, Rob, for well over a decade. So this is really nothing new. And if anything, it may sharpen their preparation a little bit, sharpen their presentation a little bit. But I think the bandwidth and the knowledge inside the organization, including in the dugout, is as good as it gets. And one other little editorial comment, I guess, when a manager gets let go because players don't perform, I always have to examine that. Because for me, if the players have continued to play hard for the manager and for the team, for the city and for the organization and all that and for their teammates, that's not on the manager. players stop being fundamentally sound, players start to walk to positions and start to take it easy and things like that. Okay, that's on the staff in my mind. But it's not on the staff if everybody plays hard and everybody's doing all they can and something just happens. You can't control some things that happen. But, you know, the manager is the one that always sits in the focus of these types of conversations. I never thought it was really a fair evaluation. If teams play hard for the manager, that to me is one of the great qualifiers to staying or leaving.
I agree with that, but we do give managers credit. Like this is the one pushback I'll have with that. Well, he's not the guy who made an error. Well, he didn't strike out in the bottom of the ninth. But when the guy hits the grand slam home run in the bottom of the ninth and the pitcher strikes out the side in the ninth inning, the manager, they win, he gets credit. He gets a new contract. Things are
so, he gets a little bit of credit.
He gets credit. All I'm saying is you can't have it both ways. Like when the players don't perform, it's all, well, they didn't perform. And when they perform, well, the manager, he's pushing all the right buttons. That's all I'm saying. Like there's got to be some sort of gauge for a manager on whether or not,
well,
right?
No doubt. But, you know, like, well, you just said it too, pushing the right buttons. It's not that easy.
I know it's not.
I'll give you one more thought on this. And it's an interesting, I think it's an interesting way of looking at things. It's always, okay, let's fire the head coach. Let's fire the manager. Let's fire the person in charge of the people in the uniform. Well, that's the first half. The second half is you better have somebody far better than that person that's sitting in that chair next. Not an equal and not somebody that doesn't have the experience of doing it, because you'll be the next one leaving if that's how it goes. So there's always two parts to this equation in my mind. Okay, you run your course with a head coach or a manager. Before you decide that somebody else is going to sit there, you better know that the next person sitting there is going to be outstanding at what they do.
And you know this, being in the NHL, they fire coaches like they change socks. Like,
oh,
that,
yeah.
It is unbelievable in the NHL. Like, I just can't get over how often coaches are changed. Like,
yes.
Like more so than any other sport I've ever seen. Last thing, and I'm going to let you go, Ned. I appreciate your insight. When Clayton Kershaw is healthy, is there a spot for him on the Dodgers or not?
I think there'll be a spot for Clayton Kershaw for as long as he wants to pitch and he's healthy. I think his desire is most likely to stay with the organization. He's one of the few players in the last maybe 15, 20 years that could say he started with one team and finished with that team and there was no interruption to it. I'd have to think he's excited by the moves as everybody else is. And again, as we get into the season, and it's not even, it's, you know, February at
right.
The beginning. We've still got 2 months before we get into the first 6 months of a season. A lot is going to happen between now and then. Having him fresh, if it's after the All-Star break, and healthy, I think is a great addition. I think it'd be tougher to trade for somebody, providing he's healthy and providing all those things. It'd be tough to trade for somebody at that point in time. And everybody gets banged up as the year goes on, and especially your pitching. They get tired. They get worn down. You're going to add him fresh and ready to go with 6 weeks to play or 8 weeks to play. I think that just fits right with how they think and most likely what he's going to attempt to do. I think it'd be a great addition. You won't find many players you'll trade for if he's ready to go better than Clayton Kershaw.
Last question, just a yes or no answer. The Los Angeles Dodgers are now officially the evil empire. Yes or no, Ned?
I'd say, of course.
Okay, that's it. I'm with you. And the Yankees wore it proudly, didn't they? They wore it proudly as the evil empire. I think the Dodgers are the evil empire.
Yes, and I think they're happy being it.
No doubt. All right, Ned Coletti's our guest. Ned, always a pleasure, my man. I appreciate your time, and we'll talk down the road, buddy. Stay well.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
in the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.